hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Candle Guys. It's Joe and Jamie, and we're here for another episode. Are we going to call it an episode? We're going to call it a podcast. We're going to call it something.
Episode.
An episode?
We'll go
or another time? Another taking up of your time with great information. Tonight's episode is going to be called Wick, and More Wicks. And we're going to walk you through the things that are available, why they are available, what they do, and generally have a general all discussion of Wicks. Because Joe, I got to tell you, between you and me, Joe loves his Wicks.
I love my Wicks. I've been talking about Wicks for 30 years now, and I just love talking about them every day.
Okay, so we're going to kick this off with, how do you want to start your Wick, Joe?
How do I want to start it?
Yeah, how do you want to start this conversation?
Oh, conversation. Well, I'm a jump-in kind of guy. I have a list here of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I told you it was going to be Wicks and more Wicks, folks.
About a dozen different families of Wick. So they come in different families. I call them families or different categories of Wicks. But every family of Wick has a subfamily, I guess you would call it, of different sizes that come into that family itself. So
I usually also call them series. You can call them a series. You can call them a family.
Yeah, we call the one series, premiere series, CD series. But family sounds a little warmer and more fuzzy.
If you like it that way, that's fine. And, you know, as a candle maker, new candle makers, I don't, especially whoever is listening, we had mentioned previously that when you start candle making, you're probably going to buy your supplies at one or two or one, a few different places. And those people are going to have recommended wicks. And before we get into the technical side, remember this, that website, they're not offering you all the wicks that are available. Each web, site, each, house has their favorite wicks. So sometimes you might want to start collecting all different series. Again, Joe will talk to you about series, so that you start building up a library of different things to try. So remember, again, what we had talked about as far as testing, you need as many tools in your toolbox as you can. And the major tool that you're going to be having is your wick. So with that said, go, Joe.
Yeah, so as we know, wicks are very important. You know, some call it the heart of the candle. And the wick gets the most attention, whether it's positive or negative. We say that the wick gets the poor blame for everything. But a wick can only burn with the fuel that it's being provided. If it's not being provided proper fuel, then you're not going to get the wick to burn to its full potential. Each wick in let's just say a 140 melt point paraffin, no fragrance, no dye, shows its full potential, whether, you know, a CD5 can burn to 2 inches on its own without being impeded, without anything. That's how we judge how wicks can start. We try to use an unscented wax to see how the wick burns to its fullest potential. And I recommend that to you too, that if you're looking to start somewhere, start with an unfragranced candle. Put your wick in there, and then you'll be able to see what its full potential is. And then once you add it to your formula, you can see if it's being impeded at all by the fragrance or the dye or the wax itself, and see if that changes throughout your burn.
Just to jump in here a second. When you're looking at wicks, a lot of the wick manufacturers, I know on the professional level, they have charts. And like Joe said, those charts that they build, they'll give you the pool diameter, the flame height, which will tell you a range to work in. But like Joe said, that is all done with a 140 melt paraffin, so that you have to jump off of that. But when you do get, or you do see a wick chart from a wick manufacturer, you will see a pool diameter and a flame height. And that's how they get that. And that's how all wicks could be judged equally on a piece of paper. piece of paper we know is different than the lab, but that's what we as a professional candle makers get to see on paper.
Right. There's a lot of recommendation charts out there, whether it's a 140 paraffin or a soy blend or something that is most likely without dye or fragrance in there. So their series is based on, last I heard, I would say most of them are a 4-hour burn. I've heard of some of them based on a 1-hour burn. I know when we make a recommendation chart, we kind of, instead of giving flame height and rate of consumption and pool diameter, we'll recommend whatever it is, 2 to 2.5 inches, 3 to 3.5 inches. We try to give you a recommendation on the diameter of your jar, which is the key to finding the right wick. So what we'll do is we'll recommend, just say 4 for 2.5 inches. You know, I always say start in the middle somewhere in that series, because a lot of these series have, it ranges from 12 sizes up to 25 sizes. So it may look daunting at sometimes when you see 25 different wicks to choose from, but these charts do help you narrow it down, or at least give you a place to start. I have a lot of conversations on where to start and what wick compares to which, you know, which series CD, how does that compare to Eco? How does that compare to HDP? So there's a lot of comparison charts out there. There isn't one right now that I know of that has a CD compared to an Eco, an HDP compared to an LX. It's something that we're actually going to be working on soon this year, to come up with a comparison chart to say you want to switch from CDs and go to Eco wicks. We can say that a CD6 is more or less similar. We never want to be so definitive that it's a definite, but similar to, I'm not even going to say an Eco wick, but a certain size in Eco wicks. So we're working on that now. But the most popular wick out there that I see a lot is the CD series. Very popular wick. It's originated in Germany, first made by Heinz Jansen and Company, distributed in the U.S. by Heinz Verhaegh. So sometimes you'll see that they're called the Heinz wicks. Heinz Verhaegh is my wick mentor. Back in the early 90s, him and I worked closely on actually developing the Stabil line, working with different manufacturers, helping them use it. The Stabilos, or the CDs, were actually created for S.E. Johnson first. S.E. Johnson, in their Glade candle, used the Stabilos as their first wick that they started working with there. And then Stabilos were designed to work in their candles, and they were actually made for them. It wasn't till a bunch of years later, 5-6 years later, that it was open to the public. And Heinz did such a great job at distributing these and getting people on board. You know, he's my wick mentor. He knows everything about wicks, and hopefully one day we'll have him on this podcast. He just retired recently. Spoke to him the other day. He's still active down in Florida, but always be someone I look up to when it comes to wicks. So you'll see him out there called the Heinz wicks sometimes. So the CD wicks, they're made of cotton and paper. You know, if you look at the brown threads that go through there, that's actually paper. And the paper was put in there to build some rigidity to the wick, so when you do the hot pour, they don't necessarily slump over like 100% cotton wick would. So the Stabilos were made so they could bend a little bit to help with some burn issues that come up in the candles, and they allow the curl a little bit just to have better combustion on the wick. And there's
You know what, Joe? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Yeah. I didn't mean to stop your Stabilo conversation. We were talking, or you mentioned about families. Why are there so many families of wick? Well, and are certain wicks meant for certain things? And why?
Well, I've always said it's in the salesmanship and the propaganda. You know, you look at, if you compare an HDP to a Stabilo, they look almost identical. And then you have an Eco wick, which looks very similar. All three of these have a paper thread throughout them. And not the kind of downplay the science behind it, but a lot of wicks were copied from other wicks. Who came first? I couldn't necessarily tell you, but I know HDPs and CDs are very similar. One's from Germany, one's from the US. And I think each line grows out of an idea that they can make a better wick by either using different materials, different types of cotton, different types of paper, or they feel that their braiding technique, and there's different braiding techniques that you could use to make the wicks bend slightly or stand up straight even. There's different cores you can use, the zinc, the cotton, the paper cores. But I think they all came out of necessity. You know, jumping around a little bit, the zinc core is a round braided wick with a metal core to it. And that was made solely for the purposes of in production, that your wick doesn't slump over when you're pouring a hot candle. And Jamie, you remember when there used to be lead wicks out there, and that's where, you know, the zinc wick kind of got a bad name when it came to lead. But you and I worked on candles using lead wicks, and those were some of the best candles, you know, that we made at the time. So the evolution of lead led to zinc, and then zinc led to paper core, and then paper core led to HDPEs and stabil, kind of a, I call it like an exoskeleton of paper.
Okay. You know, at least that's taking us down a path. And originally, a lot of the wicks didn't even have a core.
Right. The original wicks are ply wicks, or they call them classic wicks now, where it simply has a flat braided cotton in it. It has, they come in sets of three, and they're called ply wicks because that refers to how many plies are in there. Like a 9-ply would literally have 9 different ends to it that are braided together. I always liken it to braiding your daughter's hair. It's got a 3-part braid that they intersect with each other. Then you have the square braid wicks, which are a square composition, and they stand up a little more better than the ply wicks. They have a little more body to them. And those are used mostly for natural candles. Mostly beeswax was the origin of the square braid candles. But we're kind of jumping around here. But that's a good question about the necessity. I think it comes out of better ideas. You know, someone has a better idea to make a better version of a stabilo, a better version of an HDP. You know, you have these, because if you look at the families themselves, and after we're going over them, we can say which ones are similar or during the conversation. Essentially, there's flat, there's round, and there's square, bottom line. And there's different variations of that.
Well, that makes the most sense. And can you use the same wick in a container as you can in a pillar or in a tea light or in a votive?
Well, I never like to kind of pigeonhole one wick to perform in one situation or even with one type of wax. Because, you know, you have this, the CD series, the Premier series, HDPs, LX, and the ply wicks are all flat braided wicks, and they burn with a little bit of bend to, again, give you that better combustion. But to say you can't use one and the other, I just say you're kind of limiting your options out there. I feel that the Premier flat braids burn very well in containers, and they burn great in a taper or a pillar. Same thing with the Ecos. Those are a flat braided wick, and they're recommended all across the board, from votives to tea lights, to jars, to pillars, to tapers. You know, because of that flat braid construction, you know, sometimes they lean to one side more than the other. You have to maybe upsize for a jar to get a full round burn. But in general, you know, the flat braids can be used for anything. I saw a beautiful pillar the other day. Someone sent me to test, and they had a CD in there. It was a CD12, and the thing burnt perfect. It didn't drip. It didn't have a mushroom on it, and it was beautiful. So to say, you know, you have to have a certain style to burn in a certain container is kind of limiting your options. I feel that most series come down to your choice. Maybe in production, you say, I need a more rigid, I'll go with the zinc core or paper core or ultra core. That's another type of wick out there. And then you have so you have the cores, and then you have the HTPs, the CDs, the Sibylas that kind of have that paper on the outside or braided within the wick itself. And then you have wicks without a core at all, like the Premieres and the LXs and the ply wick. But depending on what your production is like, how you're holding that wick in place, I see a lot of wick holders out there now, and some are pretty creative, you know, right down to clothespins. You know, if it stretches across the top of your jar and holds your wick in place, you could really get away with using any wick. But if you're not using a wick holder and you're pouring into maybe a faster paced production, you want a wick that has a core to it and would stay up during your hot pour.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, and as we move on with wicks, do you find that jumping around and experimenting with a lot of different wicks is beneficial?
Like I said, I don't like to pigeonhole one wick for one type of wax. So it's good to have as many series as you, you know, really want to have in there in your arsenal of wicks to try out, because there's nothing to say that an eco is going to work better or worse in a certain situation than an HTP or even a seed wick. So I say load up with what you can. Again, like you said, you go to your distributor, see what they have. Some may only have three different versions. Go to another one, he may have three different versions, and a lot of them cross over too. But you know, try to have as many wicks in your arsenal as possible. And because in a, you know, if it really comes down to it, a new blend, a new fragrance, a new wax blend is very unpredictable, and your manufacturers will have a recommendation, but I don't know how much that recommendation is based on just their feel for it or their actual testing. But you know, start with the recommendation. There's nothing wrong with that. There's some place to start, and you know, each family, you know, just to run down the list, you have CD wicks have 18 different sizes in there. The Premier wicks have 25 different sizes. Eco has 13. HTP has 14, LX has 12, so on and so on. You know, so that if you can build your arsenal of wicks and you get each size in that series, you'll have quite an arsenal of wicks.
And I could tell you from experience, what I find in specking a wick is you'll find a series eventually that matches your wax blend. And that'll more or less, for that blend, be your go-to series. And then in that series, yes, there'll be certain, based on colors and fragrances, that you'll have to go up in size or down in size. But I have found that once I spec my wax, I'll come across a series that works very well in that wax. And then once in a while, I'll come across a fragrance in that same wax that doesn't play nicely with that family of wicks. That's when I go to the other tools in my toolbox.
And yes, it becomes a good way to put it. Definitely having the different tools. And I'm glad you're saying that, because I have a lot of conversations, and I said this before, that seven fragrances work great and the eighth one doesn't burn. And the question is, what's wrong with the wick? So
Definitely not the wick.
Right.
Okay. It is definitely not the wick. And those as being a candle maker, those are the times that you could want to pull your hair out, because no matter what you've done, and I've lived this my whole career, whenever you have a problem with a candle, the fragrance maker is going to say, it's a problem with your wax.
Yeah, right.
Your wax maker is going to say, no, it's a problem with your fragrance.
Right.
The wick maker is going to say, no, just try a different wick. So there is never a definitive answer of what went wrong. I can tell you from experience, most of the time, it's the fragrance combination in your blend that's throwing you off. And that's why you need those other tools. And the more you burn, the more you test, is the more experience and the more you're going to see basically the same thing. So that's why, again, wrapping some of the things that we said in the past, testing is very important. Having your tools are very important. Having your notes are important, because when you run across that problem, whether it's a vanilla or a cinnamon or a new fantasy fragrance that all of a sudden doesn't want to act the same, you have a tool to go to. And this happens in wicks as well as even in wood wicks. As a matter of fact, I had somebody I was consulting with last week working on wood wicks. And what you would think would be one size for a container doesn't work that way with wood wicks either. And again, came across a fragrance, and that fragrance just didn't want to exhibit the correct capillary action in that wood that's going to create a good burn. So performance of a wick, a lot of it in my experience is, being that a wick is a braid of some type, certain waxes, certain dyes, certain fragrances clog that wick. It inhibits the capillary action of the cotton sucking the liquid up there and combusting at the tip of the wick. So when you look for that next wick, really, why will it work? It'll work because the braid, the cotton, the strand itself has enough room to allow the wick to work properly to draw the liquid through it and burn it properly at the end. So that's why we have these tools in our box, to be able to drill down on them. The last thing I'm going to say before you get to your next topic, Joe, is why are there so many different sizes? Because then you could drill down perfectly to the size container of your mixture. Right. So that's why you have all these options, like that Premier series that Joe was talking about, having 25 different sizes. It's like being able to tune your candle by the quarter of an inch of pool diameter.
Right.
And as a candle maker that wants to ensure the highest quality candle that they can make, that's important because you don't want large jumps. So when you look at a series, That's a very big benefit for you. So that was my two wick cents at that time. So what's our next topic?
Well, now that you mentioned the different sizes, though it feels intimidating at the time, you know, you become to appreciate, like you said, those small increments that you could, you know, take that quarter inch off the jar by maybe going up one or two sizes, where some series have bigger gaps in them. It's hard to fine tune. Something like the Premier series has 25 different sizes. So that ranges from tea lights up to big jars, three wicks, two wicks, everything in between. So the Premier wicks are made from the fine Egyptian cotton, which is some of the finest cotton in the world that most people know the reference. And they're a flat braided wick. They're braided in a five part style. They actually have two, we don't like to call them cores, but two inners where they run up the middle, and then you have your three-part braid around the outside. They kind of braid around those two inners. But we found that, you know, in a lot of our customers who have looked at all different series, they when they discover the Premier wicks, that they find that they perform differently than some other series, and, you know, ideally make a better candle for them. And then we have our Ecos, which are very similar in structure as like a Premier. They have the inners, the outers, and they also have that paper external braid. And those are made by Wido in Germany. And, you know, the same as the CDs and the CDN. Oh, the one thing I didn't mention on the CDs, there's a CDN or Stabilo KST, which has a treatment on it. The KST has a treatment on there to help with some of the burning issues, to reduce afterburn and to eliminate mushroom a little bit. And then the one series bends a little more than the other. So they again, the reason why there's so many series is it's an improvement. The CDN or KST is an improvement on the CD. And then you have the domestic Atkins and Pierce HDP wicks, which have 14 different sizes. So it's a good variety there, to go from tea lights up to your bigger jars and your multi-wick jars. Those are also a flat braided wick with the external paper core braided in there too. And then you have your LX and your RD. LX are flat braid, RD are square braid or a hybrid of a square round braid. And those each have 8 to 12 different sizes in there. and their application again is across the board, but primarily they're for pillars and tapers, but they can be used in container candles for multiple wicks. Then you have your Atkins and Pierce, your domestic zinc, cotton, and paper core. We talked about the zinc already, how it was built out of necessity for the manufacturers to have a rigid core as a replacement for the lead wick. Back in the early 90s, when they banned the lead wick, they had to switch over to something, and zinc was the immediate backup there. And then you have cotton and paper, which, you know, kind of is, when you're trying to get away from zinc, you go to a paper core, and these are round wicks braided around paper and around a cotton core. And they are designed for container candles, but I've seen them successfully used in pillar candles too. But the rigidity is what helps when you're pouring your containers. And then from there, you have your square braid wicks, which were originally designed for beeswax, but can be used in multiple applications. Your ply wicks that are flat, another flat braid with a three-part braid, you know, primarily for pillars and tapers, but I've seen them used successfully in multiple wicks. And then you have actually a little lesser known one, Aromalite. It's also an Atkins and Pierce wick. It's made from natural fibers. They have 14 different sizes there, and they have a core also, but not a rigid core. So you don't get the rigidity out of it, but they give a pretty good burn. They bend slightly as they burn, so they're pretty clean burn, not as popular as the rest. And then we have our friends at Filtech. Filtech make the Ultra Core, the Rigid Core, the
Rigid Curl,
and the Even Curl, right? So they have three different series. I know, Jamie, you have a lot of experience with them. If you want to chime in on what you like about Filtech and what your experience is on those, because those are a little lesser known out there. I think they go under the brand name Luxury Candle Supply, or LCS Wicks. They're selling as the Filtech brand out there.
I found them in several different blends to perform very nicely, very consistently. They're a very good production, high production wick because of their rigidity. A lot of the flat braids that Joe talks about, they're very nice wicks. They perform very well, but sometimes they're not the easiest to work in high speed production, because even though they are rigid, they aren't as rigid. If there's a scale of 1 to 10, they're more or less in the fives on the rigid scale, where an ultra core is closer to an 8. And that helps in mass production, especially in the summer when you have your factory is hot. And I've always found the Filtech to be a very good production wick while burning well at the same time.
What are some of your other go-to wicks in your arsenal that you find are either production friendly or are making some of the better burns?
Well, as far as utilitarian candles, like religious candles, candles that you'll see in church or in home use, which are larger, taller candles, zinc is still popular. Again, it has the rigidity. When you're making a candle that's 8 inches long, having a wick that doesn't sink into hot wax is very good. So that zinc core helps a lot. I do use and do have recommended the HTP series often. they work well for me. I've always liked them in smaller containers, again, because it's not the most rigid of wicks. So on a high production line, the wicks, the candles will solidify quicker. So you don't have that same issue as far as having to dive in and straighten the wick. And the wick that I've been finding to be a go-to has been the Premier series, because it gives me a lot of room to really tailor my burn. I use the Premier wicks a lot in all my higher end candles, where I'm looking for that special burn. and I found them to be able to be dialed in perfectly. And it's a newer series for me over the past few years, and it's become very, very successful. And the last wick that I do use occasionally when I find something that I really can't make burn and I don't really like is that Aromalite series that Joe had mentioned. I wouldn't say it's a go-to wick for me, but it's one of those wicks that I will look at when all else fails, so to speak. It's the type of thing that, you know, it'll cut through anything. And that's why it doesn't tailor itself to a great burn all the time, but it will overcome an issue. So those are the ones that I've been using a lot lately. And they're in my toolbox all the time. And they've been successful for me.
Right. And just one other aspect of wicks while we're at it is the wick wax coating. It's been a debate throughout the years. Does the wick wax coating make a difference on how the wick burns?
Aha.
Yeah. My stance has always been no, because
I agree with you. Okay. And I've had this conversation with so many different people in the industry. And then I ran across somebody one time, and to make a long story short, we both wound up doing side-by-side testing. And at the end of the day, it didn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. You know, when you think about it, it's 1200 to 1500 degrees at the tip of the candle. How much is that wick wax going to affect it? You could tell me that if you're making a wick wax out of some weird materials, which I got to tell you, back in the day when we all made our own wick waxes.
Yeah, right.
All right. And we were using candelilla and carnauba and polyethylenes, whatever we could piece together to make a wick wax that was very rigid so that on the production line it worked well, there might have been a school of thought that said, well, maybe we were, you know, tainting the burn pool a little bit with polyethylenes in there and all these high melt things. I could see that. But over time, where most of the ingredients today are much cleaner and are more burn friendly, I have not seen any difference between one wick wax or another in burn. I do see it as far as on the production floor, but I don't see it as far as performance. And you?
Yeah, no, I agree. I've been saying it for years now, because we, at one point, we had three different wick waxes. We had our standard or our low melt 160 Fahrenheit degree melt point. We had our high melt, which burned around, melted around 212 degrees. And then we had our all natural stuff that sat around 190. And we've done side by side. I've had the conversation with, you know, the blame game of what's causing this candle not to burn. And, you know, the wick wax felt a little different than my last batch. And, you know, we've had those type of conversations, and it really comes down to that the wick wax doesn't affect the burn. And I know one supplier, if you're buying from multiple resellers out there, one supplier could have a little thicker coating, one could have a little thinner coating, but if you're buying, major point here that gets confused a lot out there, CD wicks are CD wicks. There's not two sources of CD wicks. There's one. Stabilo KST, CDN, one supplier. Ecos, one supplier. Premier's, one supplier. It's not like your distributor gets Ecos from somebody else and one gets them over here, one gets them over here. They're all the same. So I think that's a concern out there, or maybe just lack of information that's out there, that the different HDPs are, I get HDPs from one supply company and then I get them from a different supply company and they're different. Essentially, they're the same. They could have a little more wick wax on there, a little bit less wick wax on there, or different type of wick wax on there. But I want to make that point come across that you can only get your LXs from one manufacturer.
Or all the distributors get their LX waxes from one manufacturer.
Yes. Whether they get them from who makes the assemblies or they make the assemblies themselves, that's where you might see a little difference in the variation of wick wax coating.
Right. And as a general craft candle maker, unless you are buying your wick raw and coating it yourself, you're not going to face these issues of what wick wax, which wick wax works well in my waxer, what which wick wax works better, how thick I can make it to work on my line. You're going to be more or less at the mercy of, and it's not mercy, that has a negative connotation. You're going to be using the wick wax that your distributor is using.
Right. And the knowledge behind that has already kind of been thought out, you know, for you. It's not, it's one less factor that you have to worry about. But the last thing about wicks I want to cover are the wick bases, the sustainers. I know we touched on it a little bit before, so I'll keep it brief, but there are probably, I don't know, 15 to 20 to maybe 25 different versions of a metal base. And those go from self-centering for votives, self-centering for tins or jars. And they go from different neck heights, 3 millimeters, 6, 9, 12, 15. I'm sure there's ones out there bigger, but they're not common. So the most common you'll see is a 20 millimeter by 6 millimeter. This gives you a little bit of safety on the bottom of your candle. So your mushrooming or carbon buildup or anything that might have fallen into the wax, the flame won't make it to the bottom. It'll get extinguished before. So that's why you'll see on, I would say the majority of the distributors I see out there use a 20 by 6 or even a 20 by 9 millimeter neck height for that, you know, self-extinguishing aspect of it.
I would recommend, if your distributor carries different neck sizes, I think it's good practice on large jars, like an 18 ounce apothecary jar, if you're going to get into something like that. A 9 millimeter neck is a safer alternative, again, because it's going to be burned more often. If your wick isn't matching for some reason, if your customer isn't trimming their wicks, and for whatever reason, and you are getting a lot of debris in the pool, it gives you that extra height at the bottom of the container to avoid a secondary ignition or a dangerous situation. So the larger the container, I do recommend a larger neck, and it will help you. And it's just that added safety that helps.
Right. Yep. And again, shout out to Joe Nunnery from Avon back in the day. He's the one that came up with this originally, having a self-extinguishing wick clip. And the industry, you know, got on board, the National Candle Association got on board, and it's highly recommended that you use something taller than what we call 3 millimeter to prevent this secondary ignition.
Oh, no. What also Joe had done, which was really back in the day when this all started, he made this little donut. And the donut was made out of such a high melt wax that you would slip it over the wick on top of the clip. And that would be like a lifesaver secondary way to extinguish the wick at the bottom of the candle.
Right.
From a manufacturing standpoint, could you imagine the people standing on the line threading these like lifesavers over wick?
Well, that wraps up our wick, or Jamie called our wick and more wick podcast for today. Next episode, we're going to be talking about waxes. We're hoping to get into some details on which waxes may work better in different situations and their chemical composition, how they're made up, and the different uses for those waxes. So next podcast, we look forward to talking about that. Please, on this podcast, reach out to us. There's a link in the description that you can send us comments. It's like a voicemail messaging comments. We do have an email now, thecandleguyspodcast@gmail.com. Shoot your questions over there. And we also have Instagram, The Candle Guys. That's all set up now. Follow us there. You'll know when we have new episodes, and, you know, maybe talk about the guests that are coming up there. So, Jamie, that wraps up for today. Thanks for all your
guys, input. I hope you learned something. Joe, speak to you soon. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for your time.
Later.